Rick, let's begin today with a look at initial claims for unemployment benefits.
That's a high frequency indicator. Those numbers come out every Thursday, actually. And the good news is that they are down to 340,000 new applicants for jobless benefits across the nation. That's the lowest that it's been in the last 4 weeks. There's a little bit of noise in the data, though, because during the latter part of September, first part of October, California was actually putting in a new computer system, much in the same way that Florida has done with Project Connect for unemployment benefits. California actually had a delay in reporting, which drove up the numbers. It put some people who would have normally gotten benefits in September into October. The good thing is that the continuing claims are at 340, which is consistent with a tepid job market. And so as we shift from unemployment benefits to the new hiring reports, what we see is that, in fact, in October, hiring was tepid. It's down to about 100,000. Private sector net new jobs per month, and 100,000 is well below where we need to be. Probably 50,000 jobs were not created because of the shutdown, and so we're seeing that show up in the ADP report about private sector new hiring.
Let's go to Washington now. The Federal Reserve has decided to keep its stimulus program in place, at least for now.
Right. It was a surprise that they did not announce the beginning of tapering off from their purchases of securities back in September. But now that the markets digested that news, that the economy didn't expand as strongly as the Fed had put in their forecast, and thus we're going to continue the quantitative easing program, the purchase of mortgage-backed securities and treasury bonds in the open market. Now, the fact that once again, the Fed is saying, well, we may taper off on those purchases because the economy is getting healthy again. Paradoxically enough, that causes a little jittery response in the marketplace, because once you get addicted to that Fed stimulus, then when they talk about taking it away, even though they're not talking about reducing tapering until March of 2014, it still makes markets nervous. So it's an interesting phenomenon to observe.
The U.S. deficit is coming down from a high in 2009 of $1.4 trillion now to $680 billion. Talk about that and reasons for that.
Well, the reason it's coming down is because the economy's recovering, and also revenues to the government are up. The big thing, of course, was that we were getting 2% of our payroll tax was a stimulus that was returned to the U.S. taxpayer until the end of 2012. But now that government revenues are recovering and the economy is recovering, then the deficit is coming down. It peaked at almost 10% of gross domestic product, as you said, at $1.4 trillion. And now it's down to a level that is between 4 and 5% of gross domestic product. That's still too high. Really, the sustainable long-run level of deficit, you can't have the borrowing growing faster than the economy grows. And even when you look at nominal GDP, which is running at about, 3.5%? If the deficit is larger than growth in the economy, then that means that the size of the debt is going to increase. So even though it's good news that the deficit has been declining, we've still got a ways to go, and realize that this is a temporary decrease, because over the next several years, the projections show that as baby boomers retire in greater numbers and start drawing Medicare and Social Security, that the deficit is going to go back up. So what I'd expect to see is that the current fiscal year, 13-14, and then the next one, 14-15, are going to be the best years for U.S. deficit performance, unless we get either some revenue enhancement through higher taxes or constant tax rate in a broader base, or through decreased expenditures. And the government having to decrease its deficit when the overall economy is weak is not the prescription you'd want to see. Sequester is going to bite again in 2014. And so overall, while the deficit is down this year and next year, it's going to go back up after that.
Rick, I wanted to take just a moment to talk about the economics of the fall festival season here along the Florida-Alabama Gulf Coast. And of course, this comes to mind as we kick off the 2013 Great Gulf Coast Arts Festival in Pensacola.
For us, that's very important across Northwest Florida. We've got all this wonderful infrastructure in terms of hotels, restaurants, shopping, other amenities that visitors value. And we all know that the fall, it's often the best time to visit our region. But actually, once the kids go back to school in August, visitor spending really plummets until you start to get snowbirds back really in February. So this is the best time of year to have events that attract people from out of town, because that spending is just so important for the businesses that are in the hospitality supply chain, lodging, restaurants, general merchandise stores, other place where visitors spend their dollars. So the fall season is very important to Northwest Florida.
We'll hold it there, Rick. Thanks.
Thank you, Sandra.
You can hear the Economic Report Fridays. I'm Sandra Averhart, WUWF News.